So at the beginning of the meditation, we pay respects to Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha. May even have maybe a phrase that you use to orient your mind when you begin to meditate. Recollection of the virtues of Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha. The most important thing is that we are generating chanda, which is Pali word, means interest, enthusiasm, zeal for the practice. So putting the attention firmly on the effort itself and not on the expected or hoped for results of that effort. In some cases it may simply be reminding yourself, I am going to keep my mind on my meditation object. I am just telling yourself what you're going to do before you do it. Otherwise can bring to the mind thoughts, reflections, images that are encouraging and inspiring and promote a sense of deep interest and commitment to the practice. As I mentioned this morning, the zoom out technique of being aware of the breath in a very kind of relaxed, loose way, in which the awareness of the breath is accompanied by the equanimous, the equal, even-minded acknowledgement, recognition of physical sensations in the body in a systematic way, dividing the body into four areas. First, the head, the face, the neck. Secondly, the shoulders, arms, hands, fingers. Thirdly, the torso. Fourth, the lower body from the hips to the feet, toes. And spending time, you may measure this time by allotting a certain number of breaths to each area. And then after completing the fourth area, then integrate them all into a general awareness of whatever physical phenomena, physical sensation arises. Simply acknowledging it, noting, not focusing on it at all, just allowing it to do what all sankharas do. It arises and it passes away. So this way of beginning the meditation, as they say, is just, it's a very loose and pleasant, non-pressured kind of way of settling into present moment awareness and grounding yourself in the physical reality of the body, which is the vehicle for this practice, and one which we can return to orient ourselves if we get lost and caught up in our hindrances. someone can continue with that as long as you find it's useful, or can go back area by area. So 1, 2, 3, 4, integration, whole body awareness, and then 4, 3, 2, 1, integration, whole body awareness. After a sufficient time, and it and you can spend a few minutes, or you know, half even of the meditation period, or even longer than that if you're finding it's useful. But once you're fluent, you can also do this whole 1, 2, 3, 4 integration in 1 minute even, or just it's a very, you can do it as quickly and as in this extended fashion as is useful to you. This ability to be aware, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whole body awareness, is one of the meditation techniques which is very usefully applied in daily life. In your inner a stressful situation, or some difficulty, and just stop and just be aware of the breathing in and breathing out, the head, face, neck, shoulders, arms, hands, fingers, torso, lower body, breathing in, breathing out. It's a very good way of re-establishing awareness, even in busy situations. So it's a good skill, meditation skill, to learn whether or not you want to make it a real vehicle in your practice. Then we focus, we zoom in, having zoomed out to the maximum, zoom in to the area, the spot which you've chosen as your Kamatana, as the base for the more refined and closer and clearer boundary for attention. And the attention on the breath here, we're not following the breath inside the body or not following it outside. And the similes that are often given is of a gatekeeper who's simply aware of who's coming in, who's coming out, without taking any more interest in those people, or of someone sawing a piece of wood where the attention is on where the teeth of the saw meet the wood. So the the skill that we are, one of the skills that we are learning here is we call vitakka, which becomes one of the jhana factors, and is the jhana factor credited with preventing and overcoming dullness, sloth, and torpor. So vitakka means directing the mind. We're learning that skill to tell the mind, do, go there. Be aware of the breath right there, and again, and again, and again, and again, and that directing the mind onto the mental object, the or the physical object here, the breath, again and again, is building this power of directing the mind, which we call vitakka. And the second quality that comes together with vitakka is vichara. Vichara means sustaining. So we direct the mind to the sensation of the breath and we sustain the mind. So this is what you're learning here. You're learning how to direct and to sustain attention. So how long do we mean by sustaining? Well, it's the breath provides that measure for the duration, the whole duration of an in-breath, the complete, the whole duration of an out-breath. So sometimes we kind of lose our faith and our interest and our zeal for what we're doing because we get too caught up in the present moment, as it were. If that sounds rather unlikely, but losing the context and the meaning. Yeah, okay, I know I have to put my mind on my breath, but why? You know, and you forget that why or what exactly the process is and what's going on, what you are training moment by moment. And we're training vitakkha, vichara, and it's two jhana factors. We're training ability to be present to our experience. And the breath is has always been the most popular meditation object, and for a number of reasons, one of which is it's not interesting in itself. It's bland, and many people spend their lives hardly registering their breath except when they are short of breath or there's some event that causes the breath to become very coarse or unusual. But generally there's nothing that draws us to the breath. We're not attracted by the breath as a general matter. And this is why it is such an important, useful object, because the only way that you will stay with the breath is because you want to, and because you make the effort to, and because you understand and train yourselves in the ways of preventing the maras, all the forces that pull you away from the breath. So we direct the breath, we sustain attention on the breath, and by doing so we hold the breath in mind. And this is what we call by mindfulness. We're not forgetting the breath. And another aspect of mindfulness is that we don't forget our purpose, and we don't forget the instructions. We don't forget anything that we need to remember to practice correctly. So to be with the breath is certainly not easy, and we can apply certain skillful means to strengthen the bond between the knowing mind and the object, that which is known. One is to use a word, a parikama word, borigam, such as buddho. So this too, it's derived from the word buddha. It's the word buddha in the nominative case, and divided into two syllables. So on the in-breath, can mentally recite the first syllable, and on the out-breath, the second syllable do. If there's another two-syllable word which is more inspiring to you, and you can use that instead. Now the breath changes as you focus upon it. This is one of its special qualities. And so the inner recitation of the meditation word or parikamma needs to adapt to that. And again, you can be creative with this. For example, with the word Buddha, Butto, instead of Bud and lengthening it to measure the duration of the in-breath, you can Bud, you can be very quick and rapid and forceful to bring up some energy. Similarly as on the out-breath, you can do. As the breath changes, you may find that if you're using the parikamma word, that on the out-breath, the word may end before the end of the breath. And that's dangerous because that's when the mind will often wander. So finding a means to ensure that the word that you choose, the parikamma word, extends to the end of the breath. You're sustaining it, you know, that vichara quality again. So creating and generating sense of interest and zeal, which is not tied to results, but is tied to the meaning and the value of the practice itself. Finding joy and interest in the practice itself, even when it's difficult. On occasions, using the thinking mind to strengthen the chanda, the commitment, as a way of guarding against hindrances or letting go of hindrances. Putting forth right effort, whether or not the mind wanders or not, is in no means detracts from the fact that you are practicing the Eightfold Path through that sincere effort. And when your mind wanders off or gets caught in a hindrance, recognizing without being downhearted, discouraged, irritated, say, yeah, this is normal. This is absolutely normal. And we'll just start again and start again and start again.